I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And then a new life from heaven filled my soul. He broke my heart in love. He wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our latest cry. He will answer by and by. When you feel a little prayer will turn, and you know a little fire is burning, you will have a little talk with Jesus makes you cry. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is free to watch his day and night.
Is this mic already on or what? Test.
You just hold the button down and it'll turn green on. Let's see there. That's green. You're hot now.
Test. Come on up here, man. Where's your mic? Get over here for that. Jesus, oh, I thank you.
thank you for your love. Precious Jesus, oh, I thank you for your love.
Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah. We're going through Isaiah, started out this morning, and we'll be tonight in Isaiah chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, there's a pew Bible in the rack in front of you. Turn to page 984 in the pew Bible. 984. And tonight we're going to look at the millennial reign of Christ. And why God gives us Bible prophecy. A lot of people ask me, they say, well, preacher, do you ever preach Bible prophecy? I do. I preach through the book of Daniel. I preach through the book of Revelation. If you were here, you heard that. I'll preach through that again. People wonder and love to hear Bible prophecy, but God doesn't give us Bible prophecy just so that we can have something interesting to know. There's a purpose behind Bible prophecy, and we're going to see that purpose tonight. We'll start out by reading in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 5, and we'll read responsively. So if you look at that little sheet that I gave you at the top of the sheet, as a responsive reading, the bold-faced text, I ask the audience to read in unison. In Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 5, it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it.
And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more.
O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord."
Father, we fill your spirit in this place tonight. We pray, Lord God, that you will fill us, that you will lift us up, that you'll clear our minds to focus upon your word. We love you so much. Those of us who are yours will one day stand with you in millennial glory. We'll see you, Jesus, when you come to rule and reign from Jerusalem. There'll be a time, 1,000 years on this earth, where there'll be no suffering, there'll be no pain. The lion will lay down with the lamb. Lord God, we thank you for that coming day. Lord God, there'll be no war nor making of war. But Lord God, there'll be peace all throughout the earth. And that peace will be there because you, O God, will be in control of all things. We thank you, Lord, for the promises that we have. And Lord, we look forward to that day. Until that day, Lord, let us walk in the light of your love, in the light of your grace, and do the things you have called us to do. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. You know, God gives us Bible prophecy to remind us, if we're born again, that there is a reason that we're moving toward. You know, we live for Jesus because there's going to come a time where Jesus is going to come again. Amen. He's going to come and rapture his church. Amen. There's some wonderful text in the Bible. Over in 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 through 17, he tells us, "We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will know by means precede those who are asleep, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel." Oh, I'd love to hear that shout tonight, wouldn't you? Amen. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we'll always be with the Lord." There's coming a day where we're going to be with Jesus. There's coming a day where we'll be changed, where God will change our broken and fallen down bodies. And he's going to give us glorious bodies, bodies that are not sick. We're going to be like our Jesus. And we're going to be in a place that's going to be wonderful. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 2, it says, "It'll come to pass in those last days, the coming of his kingdom, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established, that in the high places people will worship God, And God will be lifted up in that kingdom, and people will praise the Lord, and he shall be exalted above the hills. During the millennial reign of Christ, there will be no false gods. There'll be no Joseph Smiths. There'll be no Hindu gods. There'll be no Buddhist gods. There'll be none of these strange gods that people worship. But there'll only be the God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords. The Bible tells us that all nations will flow into that mountain of the Lord. And God will bless that people. And the people will say that day, we won't have to hunt them for church. I'm going to stop and let y'all think about that for a minute. Preacher won't have to hunt them for church. They'll want to be there. It says in verse number 3 of Isaiah 2, many people shall go and say, come ye to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. People will want to be in that place. And they'll say, he will teach us of his ways. During the millennial kingdom, God's word will be cherished and people will love to hear it. They'll not be looking at their watches if the preacher goes overtime, because the preacher will be Jesus. And when we listen to him, we're going to enjoy that. And it says, we will walk in his paths. It'll be a time where there's peace in the land, and we'll walk and follow him. And it says that out of Zion shall go forth the law. Thank God Washington, D.C. will be no more. Amen. Thank God Congress will be no more. Thank God there will be no more presidents nor dictators but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In that millennial kingdom, the law will come from God, and it will be an honest law. And in Isaiah 2:4, he says this, and he shall judge among the nations. Who is the he? Jesus said in John 5:22, the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to his Son. He will rule. Jesus Christ will rule. He will sit on the throne of David, and praise God, that's going to be a great day. And he's going to sit on that throne, and he says he's going to judge among the nations, and he will rebuke many people. And even during the millennial reign, there'll be some rebuking going on. I don't believe in nothing but sweet preaching. I like to tell y'all something good every now and then, because I do like to see a smile every now and then. But I don't like to preach it that never rebukes, because it never straightens up.
Amen.
We all need to rebuke,
amen,
even during the millennial. But listen to this, and it says, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. There'll be no war during that millennial kingdom. There will not be any warring among, and their spears into pruning hooks. People, it says, the nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. There'll be no racism in that millennial kingdom.
Amen.
There'll be no hatred in that millennial kingdom. It's going to be a great, great time. And if you know Jesus, you're going to stand in that kingdom with Jesus. You're going to be with him one day. You know, the reason it's going to be so beautiful in the millennium, and the reason God gives you this millennial prophecy, and the reason God wants you to understand this, is when people listen to God and people do what God says, then people are blessed. And he wants you to understand the millennium is going to be a blessed time, because God will be in control and the people will listen to God and actually do what God says. If it's going to be a blessing then, wouldn't it be a blessing now for us to do what God says? Amen. You know, people are to walk in God's light. He issues a call in verse number 5. I want to focus on this. He says, O house of Jacob. The house of Jacob is the believing house of God. He says, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Oh my goodness, isn't that a wonderful thing? You know what God's saying to us today? He's saying if we would walk in the light of the Lord, God will bless us. If we'll walk in, we were sitting here today, and I had a good time today, Jerry, even though we didn't have a pianist in the early service. And I enjoy seeing you lead and singing without a piano, because it stretches you a little bit. But it was good. But wasn't it greater when somebody stepped up and said, I can play the piano?
Amen.
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 Let us walk in the light of the Lord. You know, if every person would do what God put on their heart and walked in the light of the Lord, how much better would things be?
Amen.
Everything would be better. You know, on Wednesday nights, we're working through the book of 1 Corinthians. I love the book of 1 Corinthians, but I hate to preach it, because as I preach it, people bow their heads and they turn away and they don't want to hear it, because Corinthians is a hard book to preach. But Corinthians tells us what happens when a people of God turn away from the light that God is. If you are of the house of Jacob, if you belong to the Lord, you're to walk in the light of the Lord. He said in 1 Corinthians 5, he said that we're not to be sexually immoral people. And y'all might want to write this down. 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 11, he says, don't keep company with sexually immoral people. He says, don't keep company with anyone who is covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner. And when I say all those words, people say, they say, well, what does all that mean? You know, if you're walking in the light of the Lord, then you're not doing the dark stuff. If you're walking in the light of the Lord, you're actively pursuing the positive. You're actively pursuing the light. You're not to be sexually immoral as God's people, but you're supposed to walk in sexual purity. You're not to be covetous or greedy. Oh, greed has destroyed so many people, and we're to turn away from that. Instead of greedy, we're to be generous people. Walking in the light of the Lord means being generous. You are not to be idolatrous, worshiping other gods, because the other gods, they're false gods. And we're to worship the one God who loved us and gave his life for us. We're to rejoice in him and not to turn away from him. We're not to be a people that are revilers or hateful people. You know, Baptists should not be known for what they're against, but what they're for. And we should be lifting others up. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and smile at him and say, I'm glad to see you. Would y'all do that? To lift people up, to care for one another, walking in the light of the Lord. We're not to be drunkards. We're not to be drug abusers. We're not to be chasing after that tiddly feeling. The one that ought to get us excited is God the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what, when Ruby falls out, I wish 10 more of you would follow her down. Amen. We need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. We need to quit worrying about what people say about us and start thinking about what God says about us. And we need to be lifting people up. We ought to be a pleasure to be around instead of something nasty to be around. And when people see us, they ought not to turn up their nose at us, but they ought to enjoy our presence there because God is in us. There's going to come a day where we're going to have peace. God's people ought to be peacemakers. We ought to be peaceful people. That doesn't mean that we stand for sin, but it means we stand for righteousness and we walk in the light of God's love. People have told me, they said, well, Brother David, we don't think a Christian would get far from God. But I tell you, you haven't read your Bible if you believe that. One of the men who God loved most of all was a man by the name of David. David was a man that God loved. He said, he is the apple of my eye. He is the apple of my eye. He's somebody I love. And David, when God called David, he was a wonderful person. When he first started out, he loved the Lord. He stood up to Goliath with a slingshot and a rock while everybody else cowered. David loved God. He loved God. He sang. He wrote the hymn book in our Bible, the book of Psalms, how much he loved David. And then one day David stopped walking in the light of the Lord. Instead of doing what God told him to do, he decided to stay home that day. I want y'all to know something. We get in trouble when we stay home instead of living for God. And he looked out his window that day, and he saw a woman taking a bath. Instead of looking away from the woman, he looked and he pondered. He began to covet another man's something, another man's wife. He began to covet, which was a violation of the 10th commandment. And as he coveted, then he began to get greedy and idolatrous. And he sent somebody out to bring that woman into him. And then David did the terrible thing. He went into sexual immorality. And he defiled that woman. And he got her pregnant out of wedlock. What happened after that? David said, I think I'm going to try to cover this up. And David had a lot of people that listened to him. And those people, he got them all working together to try to cover up the sin. But I want y'all to know something. When you start walking in darkness, you start walking to stub your toe. Oh, beloved, when you walk in the darkness, you stub the toe of your soul. And you hurt others around you. David began to do the wrong things then. He tried to hide it. He tried to send Uriah into his wife. He tried to make out like that wasn't his child that Bathsheba was carrying. And then in the end, finally what David did was, he said, I know what I'll do. We'll send that man out there, this innocent man, this man who loved the Lord, this man that God loved, this man made in the image of God. We're going to send him out into war, and we're going to put him in the midst of the battle and then pull all the troops away from him. You know, when you walk in darkness, darkness will take you to a terrible place. Oh, what a terrible place that is. Here's the man that was after God's own heart. And now he's become a murderer. He's become an adulterer. And he thought he'd got away with it. And he tried to hide all of it. And then what happened? God knew all about it. You know God knows what we do in the dark. I don't know what you do in the dark, and I've told you before, I don't want you to tell me. Amen. I don't know what you do when you're not around me, but let me tell you something. God knows what you do. And every time you sin and take sin to your breast, it's like taking hot coals and putting them in your shirt pocket. You see, sin is a terrible thing. It destroys us. The Bible says we're to walk as children of God. David repented. And God came to David and he told him, he said, I know everything you've done. David repented that day and he said, I've sinned against the Lord my God. But you know what he was told that day? In 2 Samuel 12:10, God told David, the sword shall never depart from your house. Because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. God said, what you did, it made a breach on your soul. We're to walk in the light of his love, because when we walk in the light of his love, we don't hurt ourselves. But when we fail to walk in the light of his love, then what we do is we're going to breach into ourselves, and we hurt ourselves and we hurt people around us. It always hurts people around us. You know, I learned a lot of stuff in kindergarten. I love how Miss Shirley, she teaches them little young'uns. You've been doing that, what, a year or two, Miss Shirley? There's a little song I learned in kindergarten. Y'all remember this one? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Y'all remember that one? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above. He's looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Y'all sing it with me. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father up above. He's looking down in love. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. There's a Father up above. He's looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. We can't stop without lips, Kevin. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a Father up above. He's looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. You know, the whole point of teaching that to the children is to teach them at an early age to walk in the light of God's love. To be careful, not to walk in darkness, but to walk in light. To love because God loves you. And that, you know that word walk there? I want you to notice. Walk is it's an action verb. It's a doing. It's a doing. When you walk in the light of the Lord, that's a normal state of the believer. But the believer is to walk in him. Not to sit in the light. You know, a lot of times we'll sit in the light. We'll hear the preacher say something, and we'll sit there and we'll go, uh-huh, uh-huh. Then we'll look at our neighbor there and we'll go, boy, he told them, didn't he? He told them off. And then we'll get up and we'll go out. But you know what walking is? Walking is progression. It's doing. He says we're to walk in the light of his love. That's how the millennial reign of Christ is going to be so beautiful. 1 John 1:6 says this. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. When we walk in darkness and we do the things God says not do, we're not walking with God. Because in God there is no darkness. There's only light in God. So we walk in him and we love him. Walking means we continue to walk where he tells us to go. And we walk in his light. We walk in his light even when things look dark. Have y'all ever doubted God? Have you ever questioned God? Amen. Have you ever had hard times in your life? Ain't nobody had hard times but me. I could cry y'all a river. Amen. Even in the darkened times, we're still to walk in the light of his love. Amen. You know, when I'm feeling bad, I try to do something good. And when I do something good, I feel better. Have y'all ever noticed that? And I like to do good. Because when you walk in the light of his love, it'll make you feel better. I could sit at home all the time and go, oh, my bones hurt and my feet hurt. And, you know, I stink and this and that. I could say all that. Or I could just get up and go and walk in the light of his love. The most positive thing you can do is to walk in the light of his love. Do something for somebody else. Find something positive to do. We got a prayer list. We put people on the prayer list. Sometimes people put people on the prayer list and then they forget about it because they say, well, the preacher's going to pray for them. That's not walking in the light of His love.
Amen.
You know what walking in the light of His love is? Go see them. Pick up the phone and call them. Do something positive. Lift them up. Remind them that God is still there. Because everybody needs encouragement. Amen. Everybody needs encouragement. Walk in the light of His love. Even in the bad times. Jesus said, focus. Walking on the light of love means focusing on doing the good. Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, He said it matters where your spiritual eye is focused. In Matthew 6:22, He said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. I've noticed that if I sit there and dwell on the dark stuff, then I get pretty gloomy. And the more I think about the bad stuff, Jerry, the worse it gets. Are you that way? How many else is like that? When we sit there focusing on the dark stuff, it gets worse and worse and worse. And then after a while, we forget that we're children of the kingdom. There's going to be better days coming. I know that. My Jesus has said to me, all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. So we keep walking in the light of His love. Even when things look dark. I remember Jesus one day, He showed up a little bit. They thought He was late to a dinner party. They showed up and Lazarus had died. Everybody was weeping. And as He stood outside of that place where Lazarus was, they had just put Him to rest. Everybody was weeping and they were crying and they said, all hope is lost. Martha came up to Jesus and she says, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus looked at her and He said this. He said, whosoever lives and believes in Me shall never die. She said, do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord, I believe in the resurrection. See, she started talking about prophecy then. I believe in the resurrection there's going to be. There's going to be a greater day where we're all going to be resurrected and it's going to be better. Jesus had something else in mind.
Amen.
And Jesus stood outside of that tomb of Lazarus. And with just three words, Lazarus, come forth. He showed us something. Our God is able. Our God is able. Our God is able. Our God is able. Oh, if y'all don't get it, I'm going to preach till midnight. Our God is able. And there ain't nothing our God can't do. If we wouldn't keep on holding Him down with our negativity, walk in the light of His love. Lift Him up. Praise Him. Come into this place and magnify His name. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Praise Him. We walk on in the light of grace and love. He said, let it come, Jacob. Let's walk in the light of the Lord. You know, we don't belong to this world anymore. I don't think some of us have quite grasped that. But we don't belong here anymore. Ruby, I'm ready to go.
Me too.
Tony, I'm ready to get out of this place. Kirby, I'm ready to go. We're left here for a reason right now to glorify our Lord. But we don't belong here anymore. Well, the reason God left us here is we're supposed to walk in the light of His love so others can see it and won't come.
Amen.
And the only hope people are going to have is Jesus. They need to see Jesus in us, in our hands and our feet and in what we do. And they need to understand that that's where the power is. It's in Jesus. We're to walk in the light of His love. We're to be encouraging. We're to be lifting one another up. And we're to be telling people there is no other hope outside of my Jesus. We need to tell our testimony. I've told my testimony many times, but I'll tell you this. If Jesus hadn't got hold of me, one of two things would have been true in my life. I'd either be dead right now and not talking to you, or I'd be in prison somewhere,
Amen.
Locked away. Jesus got hold of me, Amen. And He turned my life around. And I can't stop thanking Him for what He's done for me.
Amen.
What a good God we have. Amen.
Amen.
God is good. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:8, you used to be darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. We walk in the light of His love. The Bible says, the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We walk in the light of His love. We pray, we magnify Him, and we keep on going. And the Bible tells us we're to continue lifting up his kingdom. We're not bound here to this earth. God's left us here for a time. And there's going to come a day when we're going to leave. Oh, I wish it was today, don't you?
Amen.
I wish I could hear that trumpet sound right now. I wish I could hear the crack of the angels and the atmosphere pulled to the side. And I wish I could run to the door and look out and look up and see my Jesus.
Amen.
I can't hardly wait for that day. But until that day comes, let's walk in the light of his love. Let's do the positive, not the negative. Let's tell people about Jesus. And let's keep the darkness out of our lives, because people need Jesus.
Amen.
People need the Lord. Father, glorify your name in this sermon tonight. Lord, touch our hearts through it. Lord, thank you so much, Jesus, for the promise of eternity coming. Thank you, Lord, there'll be a millennial kingdom. We'll be through that. Thank you, Lord, there's going to be a heaven where we'll stand with you in it. Oh, Lord, I can hardly wait. I don't know which I like better, Lord. This earth where there's no sin in it, or that heaven where there's no sin in it. But I know whichever one it is, it's going to be a place where we're going to walk in your life, where we're going to continue to serve you. Thank you for that. Thank you for the promise of eternity that you've given us. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that is walking in darkness, Lord, bring them out.
Amen.
Draw them away from that darkness, Lord. Draw them into the light of your love. Change their lives, Lord. And Lord, help us to be people who turn from sin and embrace you as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords until the day you come. In Jesus' precious name we pray. All God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Jerry, lead us in a final hymn, please.
This song was on my heart last night, but the Spirit prevented me from using it this morning, and now I know why. Because it was being saved for tonight. It goes right along with the first scripture that the pastor read to us. Everybody knows it. I know, Miss Deb, you know it. Number 516. Let's do verses 1 and 2.
Isn't that awesome? When the roll is called up yonder. And guess what? Buffalo comes before a lot of the other words there. That'd be a good day to be a bee, won't it? Amen. I'm going to ask my brother Buster, if you would, close us with a word of prayer.